This is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, the word ransom, it's a means or the instrument by which we are released or we receive deliverance. An instrument by which release and deliverance is made possible. And the reason we need a ransom is because we have sold ourselves into slavery through sin, and because of that, we have been alienated from a holy God. I mean, that's what Christmas is about. It's a far cry from what Rudolph tells us. It is. I mean, you think about what Christmas is about, and you think about what it was like before Christmas, and you think, we open presents, and I am so caught up in the glitz and the glam. I have been to the mall more in the last month than I have been to the mall in probably my time here in Iowa City. It is consumed with stuff and everything that glitters and everything that shines. And when Jesus gave his life as a ransom, our slave masters, sin, death, and the devil had to release us. That is an awesome thought when you think about it. They had to release his claim on us, and as a result, you and I can be adopted into his family. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is about. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 4. He says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." My question this Christmas, have you received that adoption? In other words, redemption frees us to be a part of God's family. We have run away. We have sold ourselves into slavery, and God pays our ransom. God pays our ransom, redeems us out of slavery into his house. And to do that, God's Son, Jesus Christ, Christmas, the manger scene that we see and that we celebrate every year, had to become a man so that he could suffer and die in our place. I mean, that's what Christmas is about. That's the meaning of Christmas. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same." Jesus likewise also took of the same. Put on flesh, dwelt among us, so we could see and we could understand who God is. And the reason Christ put on flesh was so that he could die, and dying pay my debt so that I could be free. That's the first step. That's the first flight that he took. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's one of the meanings of Christmas. He came to ransom many. Well, the second flight of stairs is he came to call sinners to repentance. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, it says, "Jesus answered them and said, It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And repentance, it's a change of one's way of life as a result of a complete change of thought and attitude in regard to sin and righteousness. It is and this is something that you don't do. I mean, I can ask for forgiveness and I can do certain things, but God gives me the gift of repentance, and I can turn away from the old man, the guy that died in 1985. I can turn away from that and all the things that so easily called my name, and I can turn to God, and I can turn to Christ through faith. That's repentance. First, we needed to be ransomed. First, we needed to be ransomed. Our sins needed to be paid for. And then we could have an effective call on our lives. He does not leave the ransoming and the calling to someone else. He does it himself. That's the meaning of Christmas. He has come to call us to repentance, to turn away from everything that so easily entangles us, and to follow him. Well, the third flight of stairs is he came to give sight to the morally blind. John 9:39 says, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." And then in John 12:46, he says, I have come as a light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness, will not remain in that stairwell where you can't see. Your eyes will be open, and you will be able to see his glory, the glory of the only begotten. And Jesus did not merely come to ransom and call, but he came to open our eyes so that we could see the light. I mean, 1 John, Scripture tells us that if we walk in the light, it's a conditional statement here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I mean, that is something that he tells. If you do this, if you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, our problem is not just a slave needing a ransom and our lostness needing our call. Our problem is also moral blindness. I mean, think with me for just a minute. Those of you who are my age, think with me for, and everybody, please. Music and TV. Think about the change over the last 30 years in TV. Just how far we have come. In my lifetime, we have fallen in those two areas. Just in the last 10 years, especially in music. There was a time, I remember, I don't know if y'all watched the Dick Van Dyke Show or some of these other shows. It was dictated. It was a law that says that two couples on TV couldn't stay in the same bed. If you remember, there were two twin beds. That was a law. And now we've kind of thrown that one by the wayside a long time ago. I mean, music. I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to talk. Sometimes I listen to talk. I usually get mad. I usually come to the office. In fact, this last week, I was telling Pastor Chris and Amy, I was really just angry because I was listening to talk radio on the way into work. I usually just don't do that. I usually get a book, put it in, and listen to a book while I'm in the car, or just turn off the music, the radio totally. But just think about how far we have fallen in our lifetime. The violence. When I was a kid, a rated R movie had one or two cuss words in it. Maybe one or two cuss words and some insinuations. Our country has become morally blind. And you know, the problem I see in the church, I see in my own heart, I won't even include y'all, I see in my own heart, is it just wears on me. And I see myself slowly drifting towards the world. And periodically, I just need to remind myself, I am not of this world. I just need to remember, you know, where I have come from. This is why Christ came, that those who do not see may see. That's the meaning of Christmas. Well, the fourth flight of stairs, he came to divide households. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. And it says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set man against his father, daughter against his mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And the point of this passage is not that God loves division and strife. I don't think he loves division and strife. In fact, he deals with division and strife pretty harshly in the Bible. The point is that is division and strife are caused by a true commitment to Jesus Christ. When you and I make a choice to follow Christ, there's going to be division in your family. I mean, it's going to happen. I was the first of my siblings to become a believer in my family. There's five of us. Caused a division in my family. In fact, I was the youngest already, so there was already like, oh yeah, Richard, I grew up with you. I know exactly what you did, and I saw you do this, and I was there when you did that. And my message to them was Christ saves. There's hope here. But there was a wall. There was a divide amongst us, and in some cases there still is. And the point here is when a person is ransomed and called and given sight, something radically happens to them. They're transformed from the inside out. The old man is dead. The new man has come. I've heard it put like this. You can't have a head-on collision at 50 miles an hour with a semi-truck and not be changed. Right? You can't. And the same thing is true when you have a head-on collision with Jesus Christ. You will be changed. And that change in my heart and in my life put a wall up between me and my brother, me and my sisters. Even my parents were struggling with it. I remember my dad telling me, this is before he passed away, I remember my dad telling me, okay, if this is what you're going to do it, be the best that you can at it. I mean, that was his words. That was my father's wisdom, if I can say it that way. And I've tried ever since then. I've tried to be faithful to those words. You see everything differently. You've been transferred from the inside out. You have a new master. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're free from fear and guilt. The guilt that you have, you're free. You think differently. And for some in the family, it's upsetting. And for some in the family, it's hard. It causes divisions. I remember my brother, don't give me that Jesus stuff. I saw you. I was there when you did this, Richard. And you know what? Everything he said was true. But what he didn't see and what he didn't understand was the transformation that happened in my heart. So that's what Christmas is about. That's why Jesus came. He came, he doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants you to be changed from the inside out. He wants you to surrender your life to him and follow after him. That's Christmas. For this tension, Jesus came into the world. And that's the meaning of Christmas. Well, the fifth flight of stairs is he came to save us from condemnation, from holy wrath, if we can say it that way. John 3, 17 and 18, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." God sent his Son to save us from his wrath, from the wrath of God. I mean, he's provided. I mean, this is what Christmas is about. He's provided a way for us. He's provided a way for us to step across the gap and follow him. But we've got to take that chance. Christmas, the coming of Jesus, is God's way of being for us. And for me, one of the reasons I married my wife is because she was on my team, and I knew it. And that is so big. God is for us. He wants us to be a part. He wants us to be adopted into his family. This is what he wants. If we will believe, he who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. And that's the meaning of Christmas. That the world might be saved through him. Well, the last flight of stairs is he came to give us eternal life, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And the other day we were reading this, and my wife, this was one of the first verses we learned in Russian. And she was telling me, you know, John 3, she still remembers it, I don't. She's a lot smarter than I am, though, too. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Christmas means that God sent his Son so that we could believe, and believing, be saved. So believing, have eternal life. That's what Christmas is about. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was telling you how God was preparing me in 1985 for that second Wednesday in December when I gave my life to the Lord. And I didn't give you a whole lot of, in fact, I got a message from Joe the other day, and he told me, actually, this is how I always remembered it. It was the second Wednesday of December 1985, and I get a message from Joe. It's actually December the 11th, and so I appreciate that. But I want to give you another piece to the puzzle, you know, what God was doing in my life and how he was preparing me for that day. That final flight of stairs that I took, so to speak. 82nd in Memphis, I was building a bank. Actually, in Lubbock, Texas, it's right there on the corner. There's a bank, and there's another building on the associated with it. But we were working on these buildings. We were on the second floor, and we were preparing the second floor to pour concrete up there so we could get the floor so, you know, things would go forward. It's really fun. I'd never built a bank before, so it was kind of neat to watch them pour the safe and how much concrete and rebar you put in and all this stuff. And it's kind of and all the federal inspectors that had to be there, so nobody actually put a back door into the vault. Literally, always had a radio on. Never could hear the radio because all the saws and the noise and the compressors. But this one day, I could hear the radio. And this song came on the radio, and I'm not going to sing it to you, but I will. I want to read the verses to it. This song brought me to my knees. It is another one of those things that God did in my life to bring me to the point where I can accept him as my Lord and Savior. I can turn away from myself, and I can turn to him. You'll probably all know it when I tell you who wrote it. His name was Bill Withers. And the song goes something like this. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. I didn't realize there was always a tomorrow. There's three things in this first verse I didn't realize that I would ever see, because the pain and the sorrow and the tomorrow were just three things that I just wasn't sure I was going to get past. I don't know how else to say it. I never thought I would make it to being 28 years old, let alone I'll be 57 in a couple of days. It's all because of God's grace. It's all because of Christmas. It's all because Jesus put on flesh, dwelt among us. That's what Christmas is about. And the part that I remember hearing, it says, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. And I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm going to need someone to lean on. Christmas is about you and I leaning on God. finding our hope, finding our place, finding our trust, finding our help in Christ. That's what Christmas is about. Lean on me. The meaning of Christmas. Lord, we thank you, God, for this day. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray for those that are believing here today. Lord, help us to lean on you. Help us to just remind us that you are our God and that you are in control and that we can trust you. And there will always be a tomorrow. And I pray for those here today that are not believing. I pray, God, that you would just work in their hearts. You would work in their minds and remind them, show them who you are, that they could trust in you and that they could follow after you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for putting on flesh. Thank you for coming as a babe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.